It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today. We're in the book of Romans, and it's the 11th chapter. We're going to begin reading with the 7th verse, Romans chapter 11, verse 7. And while you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois, at 18th and Church Street, just one block north of the Dairy Queen. And I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341, or be Parkview Bible Church again, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois, 62341. If you'd like to call us, our phone number here is 217-847-2717. If you'd like to visit our website, it's parkviewbiblechurch.org, and that's www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Like to send us an email, parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one will be just fine. Now, if that was enough time for you to open your scripture and prepare for the study, we're going to begin reading with Romans chapter 11, verse 7. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as it is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear unto this day. And David said, let their table be made a snare, and a trap, and a stumbling block, and a recompense unto them. Let their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles, for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness. We're going to end with the 12th verse and begin the study today. We always begin with prayer. Father, I just ask that you will guide and lead us today. Thank you for this precious opportunity to open your word and to fellowship over your word. I ask that you give us your leadership, that the Spirit, your Spirit, the Holy Spirit, will come and lead us through this study today, directing us with every word, and that word will touch our hearts, and we'll come by faith to you and be saved, be born again. Salvation come to us as Gentiles because the Jews rejected, and the Jews, they were to bring salvation, Father, to us, but they didn't. And so you took that opportunity away from them, set them aside, and gave us, the church, born-again believers, this opportunity to give the gospel out and watch folks be saved. And so please help us each and every day, Father, to do just that. Take that salvation message out to this lost and dying world. It seems to be being more and more every day a perverted world that we know that you can't tarry much longer before you come and take your church out and then goes into that 7 years of terrible time of tribulation upon this earth. And I thank you that you're going to take your church out. So many believe that they're either mid or post-tribulation, and that is not true. The Word of God, I believe, is very clear that you're going to take your church out before the tribulation starts, so I would be pre-tribulation. And so I just ask, Father, that you'll guide and lead us through this study today, and I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we look at these verses of Scripture. We find here that it says, what then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for. No, he didn't receive it, because they rejected the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, the very Messiah that all the Old Testament prophecies were leading to, telling about the Savior that was coming, the Messiah that was to come, all those things, and they missed it. They had so much light in the Old Testament, the time, the place, the family, they had everything. They needed nothing more. to understand exactly. And we know when the wise men came into Jerusalem to find out, where is he that is king of the Jews? Well, they knew it. These men knew it. They had learned it through the Word of God, through the prophecies that had been spoken, and they followed. Even there in Jerusalem, when was asked, what about this? And those that were to be spiritual, those that were religious, knew the answer. Sent them right to the place where the Christ child was born and staying. They still didn't care. Now, we get back to this question. Let me just read verse 6 first above in chapter 11, verse 6. And if by grace, then is it no more of works? Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Why is that statement made there? It's because many today, Jews and Gentiles alike, all different colors and nationalities of people, have left the grace of God and went to works. Works of several different directions, some of just joining a certain church, abiding by the doctrines and the constitution of that and the bylaws of that church. That makes you a believer. That makes you saved. It does not. And you can go back to many cults that even have other gods. They all set upon works. Well, that's what we're dealing with here. Because Paul wants these folks to understand that you're saved by grace, by God's grace. It is unmerited favor. It is something that God gives to us, but it is not given to all just openly. And in other words, he just doesn't lay it all out and it's for everybody. The opportunity is there for everybody, but what the most people miss, and that is that it is up to you. There is a personal responsibility, and that personal responsibility is, do you recognize that you're a sinner? Jesus died for all of our sin, but you have to accept him as the sacrifice. So that's what needs to take place. You need to trust him as your Savior. You need to ask him to come into your heart, and that comes because the Spirit of God convicts your heart, shows you that you're a sinner, shows you that you're lost, and you need a Savior. That Savior is the Lord Jesus Christ. And then you have a decision to make. Do you accept the Lord Jesus or reject the Lord Jesus? That same Jesus, by all the prophecies, came to this earth, to the nation of Israel, and as a whole, they missed it. And that's what it's talking about. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh after. They had sought after this salvation by the Lord Jesus, but they sought it by fulfilling the law, not by faith. It is not true grace if it's works, and they are trying to fulfill it by their works, not by the grace of God. The love that God's shown us. We just need to believe. We need to have faith. They sought to do it another way. And because of that, then, they hath not obtained that which he seeketh for. But there are some, because there were some Jews, some Israelis, that have trusted by faith and come to the Lord Jesus. It says, but the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. So there is a few, there are some that, yes, accepted, realized, recognized. Paul is one of them. Peter is another one. They are Jews. There are many Jews through the years that have gotten off of that law that Moses had set down, and they have come over to the side of grace and realize we are saved by grace, not by works. They were trying to do it all by works. But if you look into the churches today, you will find that the majority of the churches today, it is set up on works at some level or another. It's either abiding by the Lord's Supper or by their baptism or by their church membership. Always there's something there that requires a work from you in order to make this thing good. And that is a lie. And yet if you will check in the church that you attend, and I want you to, because I want you to have true salvation. I don't want you to have something that the church has established, and I have no idea where or even if you go to church. But if you do, you need to find out, is your church, and it shouldn't even be called a church if it doesn't preach the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus, if your church does not preach that you are saved by grace and grace alone, you are kept by that same grace, and the only way that salvation come into your heart and to your life is to accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior. Believe by faith. It is an act. It is something that you will never forget that you have done. You need to do it, and you only do it once. You don't have to repeat it. Many people just continue. Yes, I have asked the Lord to come into my heart many times. No. When you come by faith, when you come by the faith that God has given you, it's real, it's certain, you will remember it, and it will be eternal. And that is from this life beyond into the next. And so please that you will trust in the Lord Jesus. But this verse, Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for. They were looking for that salvation. They were looking for the Messiah. But the Messiah they were looking for was a king. Someone to take the Roman rule, control that Rome had over them away, and get rid of Herod and come in and have a king, a God that came and sat on the throne of David and sat and enjoyed the power and the strength. That will come, but that will be his second coming. Right now, we're dealing with his first coming. He first come as a lamb to the slaughter. He first come as the sacrificial lamb, and he completed that and finished it. Next time, we will be with him, because as I said at the beginning, that I believe in the pre-tribulation, and so we will go up and be in his presence for 7 years while this horrible time is going on upon this earth. And at the end of that period of time, then he will usher in his kingdom, and he will come and we'll be with him, and all enemies will be destroyed, and he'll set his kingdom up here. That's what they were looking for. That's what they missed. But as this precious word tells us, but the election hath obtained it. Those that came by faith are saved and born again. The rest were blinded. The rest were blinded. You know, the Jews, as a people, have not obtained that which they sought. That is the salvation by their own works. They tried to do it by the obedience of the law. They sought salvation by their own merit. And as salvation is by grace through faith, the Jews failed to obtain God's favor, just as did Cain. And his offering, his sacrifice, was rejected. Let's just kind of remind ourselves of that. Abel, when he brought his offering and sacrifice unto God, when he did that, he brought a lamb that was slain. He brought the offering, the sacrifice that was required. Never can we go before our precious God unless we have the blood before us. And that blood is the precious blood of the Lord Jesus, as he shed that blood for you and for me. That is the only way I can have salvation. All through the Old Testament, up through the time with the tabernacle and Moses and the plans for the tabernacle, and then on to David's temple, and all the time that they were bringing these offerings and sacrifices unto the Lord, it represented the Lord Jesus Christ. And so when Cain and Abel were told to bring their offerings and their sacrifices, Abel listened to the word of God. Here's what you bring, because it represents my coming as your Savior. But Cain decided to bring his own. And this is the first set of religion. He tried to bring his own. And that may be something that you're trying to do, or your church is trying to do. Instead of preaching the gospel, coming by faith, looking to the Word of God, you're changing the Word of God and you're making it fit your own lifestyle. And when you do, the same thing's going to happen that happened to Cain. Your offering, your sacrifice will be rejected. Now, if it's rejected, that means there's only one thing that's going to happen to your soul, and that is it's going right to hell. If you've accepted the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, as these Old Testament saints, then as the Old Testament saints would go to a place of Abraham's bosom or paradise, and it was a place where they were kept, they stayed until Jesus finished the work on the cross and rose from the dead, and then he emptied out the place of paradise and took them all home. And now when we die in Jesus, we go straight into his presence at his home in heaven. So you see, this thought of being religious goes all the way back to the days of Adam and Eve. And of course, with Adam and Eve, they put the fig leaves, they made their own outfits, thinking, okay, this will cover us. But as soon as God came into the presence, they knew that they were naked, and that wasn't enough. And God brought that sacrifice to them. And the animals that were killed, and those coats of skin was put up on them, and when that was placed upon him, it represented the Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross. By faith believe he's coming. That's what he said to them. Should have been the same thing with Cain and Abel. Abel listened, Abel knew, but Cain didn't. Cain decided to do his own way, and God rejected it. And he will reject anything that you try to bring on your own. The elect here is the remnant of Israel. Spiritual Israel obtained what that nation or natural Israel, the Jews, failed to find, and that was that they came by faith to the Lord Jesus. They accepted this Messiah that had come. The bulk of the Jews, Israel, had rejected it, and that's where the blind rest were blind, as it says there. Now, we talk about the hardening of the heart, and that hardening comes, like here in verse 8, according as written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear unto this day. What a sad statement. But the reason that that was given wasn't because God just decided, I don't like those people, so I'm going to harden their heart. You know, he hardened Pharaoh's heart too when Moses was dealing with him. But it did not come until Pharaoh hardened his heart towards God. And that hardening comes by rejection. So if you hear the word today, and I'm telling you very clearly, very simply, very lovingly, that Jesus died on the cross to save you. But you must come by faith. You must recognize that you're lost and you're a sinner and you need salvation. So please, come by faith to the Lord Jesus. Call upon him for your salvation, and he will come in and sup with you, and he will come in and he will abide with you forever through the Spirit of God. And once that takes place, the split second that you say yes, that is when you're born again. If you say no, if you say, you know, I don't think I believe that, and we've had many folks as they've come through the years, they've attended, they have sat through Bible study and through church service, and they leave, and I don't agree with that. I don't think that that's true. And then they come again, and the next time, why, They may listen a little bit, but as a whole, they're rejecting it. I don't believe that. I don't believe that Jesus died on the cross for my sin. Or they believe in something that's false, that's been spread by the world, and that is a universal salvation. In other words, Jesus died on the cross, and I believe that, and everybody's saved. That is a lie. And we need to understand that you must yourself be personally responsible. And the only way that can take place is if you listen to the call of God and accept Jesus as your personal Savior. Now, please do that today. I plead with you that you do that today. Because if you don't, every time that you have listened to this program, and every time I tell you to be born again, to call upon the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and He will come in and save you, every time that you don't, every time that by your lack of action, by your not trusting in Jesus, you're closing that door. You're closing that door. You're closing that door. And it's just like every time that door or that veil or that curtain or whatever you want to call it, it just keeps getting thicker and thicker and thicker and thicker to the point that no matter who calls, you don't hear. You have hardened your heart. Now, at a point in time, God says enough's enough. And He hardens the heart. He hardens that one that says, no, I reject the Lord Jesus. God has every right, to reject, to harden your heart after the first time that you hear it and you reject it. But He doesn't. I believe He calls many times. But you never know when that call is going to end and when that call will be over. And when it is, then it's finished. Because when you reject, you harden your heart. You reject again, you harden your heart some more. You reject again, you harden your heart some more. And about that time, God says, enough's enough. I will harden your heart to where there'll be no return. Don't you ever dare say that's not fair. Jesus died on the cross to save you, and all you've got to do is come. But don't play the game with Him, because there is a point of time that there is no return. So please, trust in Jesus, because if not, this blinded, hardened, a thick skin, a hardening. And that's what happens here in this blinded, as the Scripture tells us, back in verse 7. And then it speaks of the slumber, and it speaks of the eyes that should not see and ears that should not hear. So this hardening that God gave was a spirit of slumberness. And so you get to where, I don't care. Well, it wasn't God's desire, but it was your rejection, that person's rejection, that brought this spirit of slumber, a spirit of I don't care, a sightless eyes or deaf ears. That's what comes. It comes to a place that you cannot hear nor understand anymore. Now, you don't know when that time is, when you cross that line. So I ask you that you trust in Jesus today. You know, whosoever will may come. And so please call upon Him. But there's a point in time when that, because you reject, we have the spirit of slumber. We have the eyes that should not see. We have the ears that should not hear. The more you hear, the more you reject, the harder your heart gets. You reject, you harden your heart, then God moves in and hardens it for you to where there is no return. And again, you please don't come out of your mouth that's not fair for God to do that. I just was waiting. You waited too long. It's God's gift. You take it upon His terms, not upon yours. Accept the gift of God, which is salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. Please, trust in Jesus. God hardened the heart all the more. This continues again to the point of no return. According to the scripture, in verse 8, God hath given them the spirit of slumber, eyes that they should not see, ears that they should not hear unto this day. What a sad, sad statement. This scripture verse, let's go back to Isaiah chapter 29. Isaiah chapter 29. I hope that you're able to look these verses of scripture up with me so that you can see that I'm just reading to you the Word of God. Isaiah 29, verse 10. For the Lord hath poured out upon you the spirit of deep sleep, hath closed your eyes, the prophets and the rulers, the seers, hath he covered. And so please that you just open your eyes. The vision of all is become unto you as the words of a book that is sealed, which men deliver to one that is learned, saying, read this, I pray thee. And he says, I cannot, for it is sealed. You see, there's a point of no return. A point of no return. Let's go to Deuteronomy 29, 4. Deuteronomy 29, verse 4. Been a problem with people all the years of just tarrying and waiting, and you wait too long. Deuteronomy 29, verse 4. Yet the Lord hath given you an heart to perceive, and eyes to see, and ears to hear unto this day. And so they were given that opportunity, but the problem is that they rejected it. You know, to show the Jews beforehand that you cannot reject Almighty God and not suffer the consequences. Let's look to Isaiah chapter 6, verses 5. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 5 through 11. Love the Word of God, love studying the Word of God, confirming the Word of God, verse with verse. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 5. Then said I, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off of the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sins purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? Who will go for us? Then said, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes and hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and be converted and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted unto inhabitants, without inhabitants, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. That statement that Isaiah makes, how long? That was the question. How long is this going to continue that they will not listen? They will not respond. They will not answer and respond. How long? And that's what that comes from. What a terrible statement there. And it broke Isaiah's heart because God told him the people were not hearing and were not going to hear. And so it's so sad. It wasn't that it was the choice of God. It's a choice of man. It's the same choice you have. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?